This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. An unlikely friendship begins in the Paramount Plus original movie, Little Wing, starring Brooklyn Prince with Kelly Riley and Brian Cox. Reeling from her parents' divorce, Caitlin steals a valuable bird to save her home, but instead forms a bond with the owner, leading to a new outlook on life. Little Wing, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Rated PG-13.
The regular season is heating up, new stars are emerging, and that means more opportunities to win up to 25 times your cash on Prize Picks. The most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection on a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. Let it fly to turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Watch your favorite players and get paid doing it this basketball season. See your entries make progress during the game or make new entries for the second half and the fourth quarter. Three-pointers, assists, rebounds, and everything in between are yours for the taking. Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app and use code GET100. That's code GET100 on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Remember with great clarity the first time I saw that cavern footage of the Beatles doing Some Other Guy. It was in the spring of 75 when ABC TV ran David Frost's Salute to the Beatles, and this was at a time when the only Beatle footage I'd seen was A Hard Day's Night and Help when they were showing them on TV, as a rerun with commercials and all that stuff. And seeing any footage of the Beatles animated at all was amazing. It was a thrill. And hearing their speaking voices, and you couldn't really, at that time, it was a hard thing for me to try to figure out what the hell they were saying. But when David Frost interviewed or presented that clip, and I'd only seen still pictures of them from the cavern, to hear that playing Some Other Guy, it just like made my jaw drop and my heart stop. It's like, holy cow, this is amazing.
I actually saw it in late 1963, I wish. I saw it in late 63, which it's now become clear it was broadcast in the London region
right
around that time, and I do remember seeing, I was only 4 years old, but my brother said, this is the Beatles when they began.
Okay, so you're talking fall of 63.
Yeah.
Was this like on the verge of I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Yeah, around that time.
Because Beatlemania had officially commenced by this time. So,
oh, I mean, Beatlemania had been building in Britain right from the beginning of 63, being, you know, from me to you, you know, and then She Loves You, that was it. You know, that basically blew everything wide open.
Well, it's funny how he phrased this is them at the beginning when it's, you're talking like 15 months earlier.
I know, absolutely. But it's like, look, that's when they began, you know.
Right.
And
well, that's when Ringo began with them.
Yeah, the version we just heard, of course, was not from the Cavern. That was from the BBC sessions post-Bob Wooler beating. This is, I think, a couple of days later.
Well, which would have been June of 63, right after Paul's 21st birthday party.
Yep. And, you know, they were a bit panicked because their first national press headlines in the UK, back page of the Daily Mirror, Lennon beats up Bob Wooler.
Yes.
And so they're really worried. And it kind of sounds, you can hear it in the music there, in that performance, you can hear the edge.
Yes.
You know, it's a very aggressive performance.
Yeah, as amazing as that Cavern footage is, and it is amazing for so many reasons. You know, it's historic. You know, Ringo's just joined the band. John will be getting married the next day. And it's 7 years to the day before their last photo session as a group, the Tittenhurst Park.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's got all kinds of history to it. But I first heard the BBC recording on a bootleg circa 75, 76. And it was the one that had, when I bought it, it was called the Decca Audition Tapes.
Right.
Yeah. At that time.
Which is what John thought it was. When
yeah, right. Because it had been bootlegged already a few times. I think 73 was when it first appeared. All these BBC recordings that were collated as a wonderful standalone album. And we've talked about this on the show before. But it had been called As Sweet As You Are.
Yeah.
It had been called Yellow Matter Custard.
Custard, yeah.
The point being, whoever collated this, and I don't know if it was just what they had at hand of the BBC recordings, or if they actually programmed it for maximum listening pleasure, because from start to finish, it is a wonderful cover-only, standalone Beatle package. It's fantastic from start to finish. And it's sort of like in a parallel universe, if the Beatles didn't have two strong songwriters in-house, what their debut album might have sounded like.
Right, and that's the theme of this show, isn't it?
I
mean, it's not actually about, you know, Cavern or 63. What it's about, we're going to look at the first four UK albums, Please Please Me, with the Beatles, A Hard Day's Night, and Beatles for Sale, and give our choices of the tracks that we would have added to those albums, the ones we would have taken off those albums,
yes,
and also the fantastic album tracks that we think should have been singles, because
yes,
there were far fewer singles in the UK
selected
by the Beatles and by George Martin,
right,
than, you know, Capitol just went nuts in the States,
yes,
kind of released everything,
right. So we're second guessing the Beatles,
yes,
and I think that, you know, we've got sort of some implied rules here. You know, it has to be material that existed at the time or was in their sets. Something that, you know, we couldn't say, oh, I would stick Help on the Please Please Me album or something like that.
Correct, yeah. But it can be something that they may have recorded later on, but we know that they did it in Hamburg, for instance.
Yes, we know it was part of their musical vocabulary at the time.
Absolutely. So that is one that I would have added to Please Please Me. Would you have had that on Please Please Me?
You know, I don't know, because I like the BBC performance. I think it's more powerful than the Cavern one. The Cavern has its own charm for its own reasons. But that said, as a composition, it was never one I rated that highly. It's a nice performance. It's a better performance than it is a song, in my opinion. And there are plenty of, if you look at their cover repertoire, like going further on, Dizzy Miss Lizzy, that's a fun song to play if you're in a band. It's a fun song maybe if you're in the audience to listen to. I don't know if it's something I would have immortalized on vinyl.
Right.
But we're not going to do Help on
this show. But I mean, they obviously really love that song because we know in Hamburg they do Ray Charles, What I'd Say.
Yes.
And, you know, Some Other Guy is basically a remake of that. And so is Watch Your Step.
Yes.
It's
Bobby
another
Parker,
track that they used to do.
Which they then kind of appropriated for I Feel Fine.
Right.
And it was a big part of the repertoire to do that kind of Latin beat.
Yeah.
And in fact, when Paul the other day inducted Ringo into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he cited What Did I Say specifically as though it was the first song they played with Ringo behind the kit.
Right.
You know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But that was a song that was part of everybody's vocabulary in the club scene then.
Yes.
You have that recording. In fact, we played a bit of it on the Andy Babiuk show of the Big Three doing it, recorded at the Cavern.
Yes.
So it's like everybody had that. It's like
and,
money.
And that is why I think they never issued it themselves, never officially recorded the track, was because of the Big Three version.
Right. And there was, you know, other Chuck Berry stuff that was common to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
But it was a favorite of theirs, you know, certainly around 62. You know, they're playing it a lot, aren't they? You know,
right. As they did with Kansas City, which was also filmed at the Cavern, and that was the footage that didn't really...
Although they never did it at the Decker Audition, some other guy.
No, they did not. No. But that's because they were doing all this novelty stuff.
Yes. So, okay, so Please Please Me. Okay, yes. Let's kick things off here. What are the tracks that you would have eliminated?
Please Please Me, it's a great little snapshot album, and it's a nice little listening experience, although I don't know if it's over-familiarity with the songs on it, because so many songs that, you know, might have been sort of aftermarket singles, like Do You Want to Know a Secret came out here as a VJ single, and for years, Americans were deprived of a couple of cuts. For whatever reason, Capitol never saw fit when they put out the early Beatles in 65, Misery and There Is a Place. Misery is a song that I have historic justification for keeping it off the album. I never ranked it that high. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Immediate argument here. I can't believe this.
No, no. It's to me, it sounds too derivative of other things they were doing at the time.
Oh, I love that song.
I love There Is a Place. That's a great song.
Yeah, and I love Misery.
I don't know why they would have... Yeah, left that off. But Misery.
Oh, man.
You know, Kenny Lynch recorded it at the time. Yeah. So that to me could fall into the pile of songs they gave away. And quite fittingly.
Wow, I'm amazed. Okay, so Misery's gone. What else is gone, you Misery?
I would have dropped A Taste of Honey.
Yep, I agree with that.
I'm quite satisfied with their star performance. Yeah, a waste of money.
Yep, I would have taken that off as well.
Yeah, a tougher one for me is I was satisfied with some of the covers they did. Boys is great. Perfect Ringo
gone
vehicle.
For
no,
me.
Oh,
gone.
No,
yes,
no. Yeah,
Ringo's going to suffer here. I'm sorry, but one's gone.
We'll phone you. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Chains.
Gone.
You know, it's Goffin King. It's George. George did a lot more singing back in those days, and I'm not going to throw out anything he sings lead on. And then the other one that I was really trying to figure out what would be the best choice here, and I suspect you've got your own substitution in mind. They did a number of Arthur Alexander songs.
Yes.
He was a, you know, this Southern R&B singer in America, not on a real huge, you know, hit-making level, but somebody the Beatles picked up on.
John particularly liked
him. Yeah, he was a very capable songwriter.
Yeah.
The big song that was kind of his money spinner that got covered the most by a number of groups was You Better Move On.
Right.
Yeah, the Stones did that.
I love that song.
Yeah,
actually,
as late as the 80s, Willie DeVille did a cover of it.
Right.
A really nice one.
I think the thing with Arthur Alexander was... the actual structure of his compositions, I think they were interesting structures. I think that's what kind of...
They weren't terribly formulaic.
Right,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, and he was a soulful singer. He was kind of in a class like a Smokey Robinson.
Right.
You know, one of those guys that you definitely felt the soul in his voice and in his compositions, without being hackneyed. And I don't know if the Beatles ever did You Better Move On, but they did do a number of other Arthur Alexander songs. They did Soldier of Love, as you know.
Yep.
The one that... would probably be in my alternate universe substitution. Anna is a fine song. I'm sure you love it.
Yes, I do.
I would substitute that one and put in its place Where Have You Been All My Life. That's the one recorded at the Star Club, and we'll play it here in a second. But to me, it's a little bit more sophisticated. It's fresher sounding to me. And part of my criteria for what I would drop from the Please Please Me album is, you know, as we've said on the show before, out of all their releases, it's the one that has one foot most firmly planted in sort of the 50s sound,
yeah,
the sort of doo-woppy stuff.
Yeah.
So,
they haven't got the blended backing vocals. It's just call and response more.
Yeah, I mean, it's one that I think it's the Beatles, and it's going to have that energy and freshness to it, but it's also going to be a little bit more dated.
It's the most dated of all the albums, without a doubt.
So, in favor of Where Have You Been All My Life, I would drop either Anna or Baby It's You.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Live with it.
Well, but why do you have to replace it with another Arthur Alexander? I mean, you could have...
I don't have to, but I think that Arthur was somebody that needed more attention than he got. I mean, the Beatles clearly love Carl Perkins. They recorded more of him, I think, than anybody else. Hmm. Even though in their sets, you know...
Well, we're
going to
deal with
Barry
that in a minute. I'm going to be dealing with Carl.
Okay. Well, here's Where Have You Been All My Life, which most people haven't heard because most people haven't heard the Star Club. Sorry for the fidelity, but they never did it at the BBC.
Thank you.
Well, it's hard to quibble with that selection. I mean, you know, great vocal by John, and I would have loved to have heard a studio version of that with the backing vocals and everything. Yeah. It's beautiful. I take exception to what you're replacing, but I do agree with that selection. I think
it's got a nice guitar solo from George in there, nice backing vocals. You know, it's such a missed opportunity that they didn't record a serious version in the studio. It's just a beautiful composition, and John really does it justice.
So, okay, let's, in summary for you, please me, what are the tracks that have gone and the tracks that have been added?
Well, that one, to insert Where Have You Been, I would drop either Anna or Baby It's You.
Okay.
I don't really care which one.
Okay.
They kind of occupy the same space as like a Lennon soul ballad.
Sacrilege.
For Paul, I would drop Taste of Honey, and in its place, I would either put an original that existed at the time, I'll Be On My Way. You know, that, you know, I think it was Billy J. Kramer did a version of it.
Yeah, I have to say, I know it's kind of Blue Moon in June lyrics, you know, John derided them, but I have to say, it's one of my guilty pleasures. I do like I'll Be On My Way.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah.
But, that was another one I was kind of sitting on the fence about, because really the only version we have is the Beatles doing it at the BBC.
Right.
And, you know, it's okay. It doesn't quite have the energy of some of their performances. But another song, again, a Paul ballad that I thought was a much better song than A Taste of Honey, was the Honeymoon song that they did at the BBC.
Yeah.
It's got that great guitar lick that they would appropriate later on.
I was hoping you weren't going to say I'll Remember You or...
No. Yeah. I think those were piss takes that they did at the Star Club. Yeah. But that it was a song that they only ever performed once on the BBC, which is amazing.
Yes.
For the hundreds of performances they did, numerous repetitions of numerous tracks, they only did that once, as if Paul can only talk them into playing it once.
Right.
And never again.
Yeah.
So let's hear a bit of that just to remind people what the song is, the Honeymoon song.
I never knew that a day like today lay before us. I've got the sun in my heart and my heart's in the sun. Skies are as bright as your eyes, the horizon is open. Love is the ceiling, feelings are reeling, free as the air. Forever on and forever, forever on side by side. Whoever knew that we two could be free as we'd fancy. Fancy is free, but are we who are bound to each other by love? To each other by love. Fancy is free, but are we who are bound to each other by love? To each other by love. To each other by love. To each other by love.
And that thing that is interesting to me is that, you know, here was a one-off song that they did 1963, summer of 63, and clearly Paul kept it in his mind as he tended to file away good songs that he liked that maybe the others didn't quite support him in, because come 68 to 69, when they're recording the Mary Hopkins album, he brings it out and has her record it for Postcard.
Right.
So that was where it last surfaced. Yeah.
So, okay, so hold on. So, again, summarize for us.
Yes, okay. I'm dropping Anna or Baby It's You, Taste of Honey, and Misery. And I am replacing them with Where Have You Been All My Life, I'll Be On My Way, or Honeymoon Song. And when I say or, you know, I'm not trying to sound wishy-washy here. It's like I would need to hear the album start to finish and see what works best. I would program it, and whichever I thought sounded best, I would go with. And to replace Misery, I would put in Don't Ever Change.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
You know, otherwise known as Sweet As You Are in some quarters.
Yeah. The Crickets.
Yes, great Puss Buddy Cricket song with such a great harmony going on there.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, it's sweeter and
Interesting.
It's just very engaging. It's a great fun track that I think should have gotten more exposure.
Right.
And again, this is me going back to my, you know, mid 70s, hearing the so-called Decca audition tapes, thinking, God, this is a great Beatles Parallel Universe debut album.
Yeah.
So let's remind people what this song sounds like.
You never wear a stitch of lace, your powder's never on your face, you're always wearing jeans, except on Sunday. So please don't ever change, no, don't you ever change. I kinda like you just the way you are.
Can we address now your Ringo dissing?
It's actually nothing against Ringo per se. It's just, again, I'm going for what I think were the weakest tracks, okay? And in
you hear
Ringo's
Boys
case,
as a weak track.
In this case, the Ringo songs, they're not original compositions. I think they're a bit more disposable.
Well, not for the first album.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, the first album, obviously, was a cover of the Shirelles.
Yeah.
But then it was a custom-crafted one for With the Beatles.
I know. I'm not crazy on that one either, but we'll get to that one in a minute. But, okay, so what I'm kicking out, Taste of Honey, so we agree on that.
Okay.
Boys.
Nope.
I don't care what you say. Boys. And Chains.
Chains.
Which I like. Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike that. And I do like, you know, it's a George lead vocal.
Yeah.
But again, given what I'm going to be adding, I just don't think it stacks up against what I'm adding.
Wait for it.
And here it is, drum roll. Okay, so, thank you. I would add Some Other Guy, as we heard.
Yes.
I would add From Me to You. And I would add Thank You, Girl. Oh, yeah. You don't like From Me to You?
I've got him here. It's a single. To me, it's like it's.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. We you know, the albums could have been so much stronger if they'd only put those singles on. It would have been amazing.
But it's a different animal. See, I would never do that because to me, it's almost like you're. It's a tacit admission that, well, this album needs some shoring up, so I'm going to put, you know, this spectacular.
But it wouldn't
catchy,
have been
engaging.
Seen that way at the time. I mean, they had Please Me.
But it was a separate
and
market.
Love Me Do on there.
But it's a separate market. Yeah, I know. But that's only because it was their debut album. That's why they didn't put I Want to Hold Your Hand on with the Beatles.
Well,
we'll
get to that in a
legs
minute.
By then.
But
She Loves You, for that matter.
Yeah, no, well, we'll get to that. But I would have just made...
You're diluting
these,
things.
I know. I would have made these albums as powerful as possible. So Some Other Guy, From Me to You, Thank You, Girl. Other contenders, by the way, if we want to maybe go, you know, over the 14 tracks, let's boost it to 18. I would have possibly
oh
One After 909, the 63 studio version. Hello, Little Girl, one of John's first ever compositions.
Yes.
To Know Her is to Love Her, which they clearly liked.
Yes.
I'll Be on My Way, which I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one that I'd like to play, which we did mention before, another Arthur Alexander song, Soldier of Love.
Soldier of Love. Love Soldier of Love. Great, great song.
Yeah.
Here's where we differ. I hear that as an advance from the Please Please Me album, and I've got that on my list for an addition to With the Beatles.
Okay. Well, again, we'll deal with that in a minute. But as I said, to summarize for me, get rid of Chains, Boys, A Taste of Honey, add Some Other Guy, From Me to You, Thank You, Girl, and possibly, as I said, if you just want to stick with 14 tracks, that's it. But otherwise, add One After 909, Soldier of Love, To Know Her Is to Love Her, and either I'll Be on My Way or One After 909.
Good God. Now, I'm not going to quibble with the choice of To Know Her Is to Love Her. I love that song. Mm. We've already played it on a show, so there's no need to recap it here. But, you know, they did that at Decca. Yeah. They did it at the Star Club. They did it on the BBC.
Yeah.
It's amazing, the song they love that much. Mm-hmm. They never took to the next level and recorded at EMI. But, you know, perhaps they were burned out by that time.
Yeah.
Great song. And funny how it's got the Phil Spector tie, which, you know, would, you know, come full circle at the end of their career. What else did you say? Some Other Guy. Okay, I got that.
Yeah, Hello Little Girl.
Hello Little Girl. I like that song, okay.
Yeah.
To me, it's a little, I mean, maybe it's my Decca audition, the way it's sort of fixed in my head that way.
Yeah, yeah.
By Please Please Me, it's a little dated sounding to
me. It is, and I agree.
And they didn't do it for BBC either.
No, they're a bit more sophisticated by the time Please Please Me, although we do have Love Me Do, which I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That's neither fish nor fowl.
Yeah, and One After 909.
Chalk or cheese, as you would say.
Yes, exactly. One After 909, the 63 version.
See, I love that as a novelty. Mm. I remember the first time I heard that, which would have been in the 80s, thinking, wow. You know, it was one of these much fabled things. You know, the 1963 recording that, you know, could have been a single. Mm. No, it couldn't have. It's terrible. It's novelty, but it's like they couldn't wrap their heads around it.
Yeah, they couldn't get it together. I agree.
And I don't know if they were actually, you know, from the extant recordings we've heard, how serious they were.
Right.
I mean, if they have just laid down From Me to You and Thank You Girl, and now they're taking a stab at this, it's like the energy has flagged. And they're kind of disengaged, and, you know, there's that whole John kind of going after Paul stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, and then George, poor George, is like not even trying to nail a decent solo on that song.
I know.
And this was a song they'd been playing on stage.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell happened?
Thank You Girl, I'm used to the British version, which didn't have the harmonica on it as on the American one.
It was an American bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
more added value.
And maybe it's better because it's got that harmonica addition. I personally prefer without the harmonica, but maybe it's just because of what I'm used to hearing.
That's what you're used to, and vice versa with me. Because by the time I started buying Beatle albums, you know, the Apple pressings were stereo, and so I'd always heard their harmonica bit.
Right.
I am anticipating something you're going to say later on in the show, but I'll hold my thought right now when it comes to variations and what you heard first and what is the right version.
Yeah.
But I'll keep that in my pocket for the moment.
Okay, sneaky.
Yeah. Okay, right. So have we thoroughly
I think we've raked Please Please Me
over the coals?
Well, I've improved it anyway. And
while screwing the singles market out of From Me to You.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And you getting rid of Misery. I mean, you are a Beatle Misery today.
No.
I can't believe it.
That's giveaway material. That's B material.
Oh, right. Giveaway material. Yeah.
Billy J, what are you doing? Here's a song.
Nice.
All right.
Okay.
With
the
Beatles.
Yes.
All right.
Which, to me, we've discussed this before, a completely different sound, a much fresher sound than Please Please Me.
Yeah. So and this is a tougher one to find material that justifies its existence on that album.
Oh, I found it. All right.
Well, me too. Yeah. And, I know. Cut Ringo. But it's got so much energy and vibrancy to it that you're going to have to really come up with the goods to match that.
Oh, I have.
All right, go.
Well, I'm getting rid of I Want to Be Your Man, Hold Me Tight, which is, I think, possibly the only, a couple of originals that I've got rid of in this little exercise that we're doing, just because I do hate the recording. I don't like Paul's vocal. And I'm just not crazy about the song generally.
That is a song we are in agreement on. Mm. And it's like a cursed song.
Yes.
Because that was what opened the door to Twist and Shout on Please Please Me.
Absolutely.
When they could not nail a decent version.
Yeah.
You know, and 6 months later, they still couldn't nail a decent version, but they threw it in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's gone. And no, this isn't going to go down too well. It's another George vocal, unfortunately, and it's nothing to do with that, but because of what I'm going to be adding, I've taken out Roll Over Beethoven.
Mm.
And I've also taken out Till There Was You, which, of course, they end up doing at the Royal Variety Show.
Yes,
but,
and Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, and again, so I'm not actually saying that I make this very clear. I'm not saying I don't like those recordings. I do enjoy them. I just think there was stronger material that could have gone on that album. And the stronger material for me would have been, again, you don't like this, but what an album it would be. Imagine if we had She Loves You, I'll Get You, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and This Boy, all on there.
It's such a cheat.
It's not, because guess what I'd also be doing, you see, as A&R guy? I would be releasing The single that never was off the album, I'll give you one guess.
Oh, I bet it's the same on my list.
Yeah?
All My Lovin'?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, amazing, amazing that that is an album track in the UK and an EP track,
yeah,
but not a single.
It was an album track here, but in Canada, it was a single.
Right.
And it got airplay here.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, that was one gold nugget Capital didn't pick up.
So, I mean, yeah, we are watering down in the UK because but what I'm doing is I'm putting, you know, more singles on albums. But I just think what phenomenal albums they would be. And then All My Loving as a single, in addition to She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I think in 63, the UK market could have sustained even one more single. And that would have been It Won't Be Long.
Oh, my God.
Which I know they did perceive as a possible single.
Yes.
And then just thought
and
it wasn't quite strong.
Short.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it fell short because of look what else they had, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my version of With the Beatles. Subtract Till There Was You, Roll Over Beethoven, Hold Me Tight, I Want to Be Your Man, and replace with She Loves You, I'll Get You, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and This Boy.
Yeah, see, I cannot do that.
Well,
so
I'm
Mr. Added Value here.
Yeah.
So while I would extract All My Loving as a standalone single, because I think it totally would have worked, I'm not sure where they would have placed it. I mean, maybe it would have had to have come between She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand as like, you know, early fall 63, although that would have been crowding things. But I would have backed it with what I think it could have made it sort of a double A-side single. Wait for it. Little Child. I think that is one of their most overlooked album tracks, and it's a terrific performance.
I know. Some people don't like that track. I love it. I agree with you on that one.
I mean, everything about it.
As much as it pains me, I agree with you.
But that is like, you know, it was such a fixture of the recordings of that period, Lennon playing harmonica and stuff.
Yeah.
And normally he's just doing riffs.
Yeah.
This is where he's actually doing a real solo. It's such an exciting track, and yet George Martin, you know, doing his Nicky Hopkins impression on piano, it's just terrific. Let's play that just to remind people what a great song this is. This would have been my double A-side single, All My Loving, Little Child.
Little child, little child, little child, won't you dance with me? I'm so sad and lonely, baby, take a chance with me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's got a lot of energy, Little Child, and right from the opening bars, actually, doesn't it? Comes in. And that really is the With the Beatles album for me. It's so vibrant.
It's almost like a live performance. And, you know, I know this is like completely unfamiliar to you, but the Beatles' second album in America, where they basically siphoned off all the covers and a few oddities and a couple upcoming Long Tall Sally EP tracks, and they made this really sustained listening experience. And even with the Dave Dexter Echo, it sounds like it's like a pseudo live album.
Yeah.
And I mean, for a lot of people, that's how they heard it. So that's kind of the vibe I'm going for with my selection of With the Beatles. So having removed two terrific tracks, and
which were
All My Loving and Little Child, because that was the standalone single in my world.
You've taken them off With the Beatles.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's ludicrous. Mm-mm. You're weakening it. I'm trying to strengthen the album.
No, because you want to know what I'm adding?
Okay.
In my version, we're adding Soldier of Love.
Oh, my God.
Because that, to me, is a late 63, nice band performance. You know, I've already heard what it sounds like.
I can see where you're going here. You're basically getting rid of McCartney tracks and replacing them with Lennon.
No, not necessarily, because this is the one that, okay, hold me tight. We've already agreed that can go, okay?
Yeah.
Give that to the foremost.
Yeah.
And we're replacing it with a song that had been part of their repertoire from day one that they didn't actually get around to recording till spring of 64. You know where I'm going with this?
Go for it.
Long Tall Sally.
Yeah.
That I would have stuck on the With the Beatles album.
Well, I've got that on another album.
But to me, it's like that. You want to talk about, it is every bit, you know, what gets all the accolades is Twist and Shout because it's got the story behind it. Oh, they could only sing this once, and it was the last song of the last, you know, hour of the day-long recording session. To me, it's got nothing on the Beatles' performance of A Long Tall Sally.
I have to say, I mean, I've actually got it coming up on another album, but I did consider it for Please Please Me, and I tell you why. It's the watching the Washington Coliseum concert. Mm-hmm. And how I've mentioned this before, the Beatles bringing rock and roll back to American shores.
Right.
And that 1-2 punch at the end, which is what made them so unique, even very early on in Liverpool, two incredible lead vocalists.
Right.
And, you know, the 1-2 punch of, imagine on if we'd ended the Please Please Me album with Long Tall Sally and then Twist and Shout.
Yeah, where do you go from there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was something I was considering. So right. I get what you're doing.
Yeah, state-of-the-art rock and roll. And it just it's such an exciting performance. You've got, you know, the Lennon and Harrison trading off on leads,
yes,
which was pretty unheard of.
Yes.
You know, that is cool. Ringo's phenomenal performance
fantastic.
On drums.
Yes.
I mean, my God. It's just firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
It's just amazing that they just threw it out there as an EP track. But,
yes.
You know, whatever. They had the richness of their catalog to do that kind of thing. Mm. So that would be my addition and augmentation to With the Beatles in place of Hold Me Tight. Little Child and All My Loving would have been the single. I would have added Soldier of Love. And as I'd said with Please Please Me, I couldn't really make up my mind between I'll Be On My Way and Honeymoon Song. Maybe I'll stick I'll Be On My Way in with the Beatles.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, that's too weak, I think. But I mean,
it's a good song, which you yourself admitted.
Yeah, but I would... yes, I admitted it might be a good song for Please Please Me, but I think with the Beatles, they've advanced beyond that.
Well, then.
You know, really, the you know...
What are you going to put on Clarabella?
I don't know. Anyone who would want Clarabella, apart from our executive producer.
A pox upon it.
Yes. Actually, I don't mind. I think you're just having a poke at it because you're being contrary. But,
yeah. Well, okay. You know what else I was considering? And the only reason I hadn't really enshrined it in stone, again, it would be something contingent upon listening to the playing order, but it utterly fits. It was another one of their signature McCartney performances. And I think the only reason they left it off was because somebody else appropriated it for a single at the time.
And it
Hippie
is.
Hippie Shake.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. But yeah, as you say, Swinging Blue Jeans had a big hit with it.
Another great McCartney vocal with gusto.
Yeah.
You know, and they really rocked it.
Yeah.
So
you could also have Ooh My Soul.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is like the second tier Little Richard. Mm. I would probably put Kansas City before that, but yeah, it's fine. So that's as far as I can go with the Beatles.
Well, thank God that's as far as you can go, because you've like weakened it beyond belief, taking off All My Loving and Little Child. I'm just amazed that
you are
that.
Adding singles to it as if it needed bolstering.
No, I'm not saying it needed bolstering. I'm just saying how incredible it would be, though, to have that album.
Yeah, it would be incredible in 1963 to have an 18-track album. I'll give you that. Next.
So argumentative. Next. Right. So next, we get to A Hard Day's Night. I'd love to see how you're going to fiddle with this one. Mm. The only uniquely Lennon-McCartney album.
Yes.
All 13 tracks, Lennon-McCartney.
13 tracks, which was, you know, there has been speculation about what the 14th track would have been.
Think it was going to be No Reply.
That's what people speculate.
That they were working on it.
They had the demo that ended up on Anthology 1, and it was around the time that Ringo dropped out due to the tonsil sickness he had, and they brought in Jimmy Nicol. And so that's the recording that they have on Anthology 1. But that would have been after they wrapped up work on A Hard Day's Night, would it not?
Yes.
So I'm not really sure what they were thinking.
I mean, they were adding tracks right to the last minute for the Hard Day's Night album.
Yes.
I mean, they were writing on the run kind of thing.
Right,
you know?
But I mean, it was released in July of 64, so this would have been the 11th hour. So that's why I'm thinking it maybe was not up for full consideration. However, they had in their pockets a perfectly good 12-string based Lennon-McCartney original that they easily could have added to that album, and they should have added to that album.
I Call Your Name.
Yes.
Wow, we're in agreement.
We are in agreement.
Is that the only thing you would have added?
I would have added that.
That's the only thing I would have added.
Okay, yes. I would have added, made it the 14 songs. Yeah. What would I have dropped? Can you guess?
Well, you see, wait till the cows come home. I know.
You got it.
Oh, my God. Sacrilege again.
No.
No. I wouldn't have dropped anything.
And
it's a perfectly great song, and I love that line about "Wait till the cows come home."
That's not the only thing that sings it for me. I mean, if that's the hook you're building the song around, the whoa ahs, you know, go back to the drawing board. You know, there's some oversight things I can overlook that are inherent songwriting weaknesses. Mm. Like, I love the song "Hard Day's Night." You cannot better that. Mm. What's the line? To get you money, to buy you things, and it's worth it. You're going to give me everything. He rhymes things with everything.
Yeah.
Good God, John. Come on. Well, you know, I get that he was doing it on the fly and having to compose a song overnight, and you don't want to overthink things. So I'm perfectly willing to overlook that.
Yeah, but he also rhymed Shaw with more, right? But it was in the pronunciation Shaw
right.
and more.
Yeah.
It's like,
Cows Come Home is you know, as silly as it is. You know,
but
I can never think of that without hearing.
Don't you say it in the States, wait till the cows come home.
Groucho Marx said it in the States.
Well, and then my Groucho Marx said, we said it in England all the time. I mean, it's just an English saying.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know what? Wasn't Uncle George Smith a dairy farmer?
He was.
Okay, there you go.
See?
It had a personal tie to it.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean you have to
enshrine
it.
Trying to get rid of it. You see?
He didn't sing about semen, and that's what Fred was.
Oh, my God. I mean, let's not even go there, you know.
Why, whatever do you mean, Richard?
Semen stains. No, so anyway.
Oh, Lord.
Guys, I'm sensing a lot of hatred right now. Do we need to take a break?
No, we're absolutely fine. Get back in your control room.
No, there's a lot of hatred going on, and I don't want to see a fight or something. I don't want to see something go crazy.
Is it that obvious?
Just calm down.
Wow.
Parental supervision.
Yeah, do we really have to listen to what he says?
Not when he's in the other room.
Anyway, as I was saying.
Okay, so my substitution for when I get home, my worthy substitution, is World Without Love.
I was considering that. I was thinking
about that. But you didn't consider it hard enough.
Well, I don't think they would have considered it hard enough either, because it was a song I think that they always looked at as something they were going to give away. I don't think they ever considered
it themselves. The story is that Lennon and Harrison laughed at that Please Lock Me Away.
Yeah.
To me, that's a perfectly great line.
Well, and as we said,
it makes sense.
You know, if they love the song, just replace the line if it's that much of a problem. I know.
It's a great song. I mean, it's funny that, you know, we've heard the demo. We played it one of the shows of, you know, Paul basically having like one verse and a chorus or something. But the fact that the Peter and Gordon recording was built around a 12 string, which was the sound of A Hard Day's Night, you know, I can absolutely see the Beatles slipping into that.
It's an interesting selection. I can't sort of say, like some of your other choices, that it's crap. I actually think that would be...
Because that would be factually incorrect and laughably off track.
No, but I actually do think... I'm not sure how they would have recorded it, okay? The style in which they would record it, I'm sure it would have then suited the character of the album.
Yeah. But I mean, the constant would be the harmonies and the 12-string, but there is a YouTube version. Apple Jam, have you heard those guys?
Yes.
Okay. And they do it, but they completely cop the arrangement to And I Love Her. Mm. It's got the claves on it.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell the Beatles would have done two songs like that on the same album.
I'm actually relieved that you didn't replace When I Get Home with The Ruttles' I Must Be in Love. I mean, I wouldn't put that past you.
No, there's other Ruttle songs I like more than that, but that one I'm okay with.
But what I would release as a single, in addition to Hard Day's Night and Can't Buy Me Love, Can't Buy Me Love, by the way, was never one of my favorite songs, but I can't argue with the fact that it was a number one single. So
it's a great performance.
Yeah. So I would add to that, I Should Have Known Better.
It was a B-side.
Which, by I let you know, was number one in Norway. You know, they released it in Norway, and it was number one there, and number six in Germany.
Norwegians would.
Yeah. Oh, slick.
Sorry, Roger. We love you.
I'm not saying it's a kind of slam dunk as a single, but I can see that it had possibilities.
Well, let me ask you this, and I referred to this earlier in the show, because I suspected, I had my reasons for thinking, you know, being the good Lennon groupie you are, that you would pick that at some point. You would have heard...
Lennon groupie.
Yes.
That's what it's come to.
You prefer groupie?
Really? I mean, this is pushing it.
So, you guys didn't get that in Britain as the B-side of the Hard Day's Night single like we did here.
Okay.
You got Things We Said Today.
Yeah.
Which is a great, great song. I would never touch that as anything.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. But it's funny because... when I started getting into the Beatles, I wasn't a singles buyer. You know, I was an album buyer. And, you know, we're talking about the 10th year anniversary, 1974, where Capitol...
Yeah, well, you
Apple.
Missed that excitement. Seriously.
But it was terribly exciting to me at the time.
Yeah.
But I was in a world of my own. I wasn't sharing it with the rest of the
universe. I remember speaking to an American fan who's, you know, actually went to the first Shea Stadium gig. So she was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And she said, like...
Meryl Streep.
No, she's not a personal friend of mine, Meryl. But, you know, this person said that every time a single was coming out, it was like a new gift from the Beatles. And I get that. You know, it must have been really exciting at the time.
I do all these library gigs, and a lot of the people that show up tend to be older people who grew up with the Beatles, kind of like yourself.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
I've heard this all over the place, and they volunteer it themselves that when they think about the Beatles, they have this association with Christmas because the Beatles tended to drop a new album at Christmas time.
Right.
And so their excitement of, oh, Rubber Soul, you know, it will bring them back to Christmas 65 or the White Album Christmas 68 or something. And that's really cool to me because, as it happens, the first Beatle album I ever got, I got Christmas 73, which was the Red Album.
Yeah.
And so I sort of have that association as well. It's, you know, sort of latter-day fandom. But, yeah, I do kind of envy the people that grew up and all this music was fresh and new.
Well,
and then
said,
anticipation was there.
I was a small kid, so I wasn't a record buyer. I wasn't going to the stores, you know, like 6 years old and buying the records. But
you're a shoplifter.
That's right, falling off the back of a truck. But but what I do remember was that by kind of the end of 64, which we're going to be getting to with the next album, it's just the quality is sustained. You sort of get it that, you know, they're not just going to have a few great hits, which is kind of the trend with most people.
Right. It's easy to take that for granted that the Beatles were, of course, they're going to you know, do something amazing.
You know, by the time of I Feel Fine, it's like, wow, it's just nonstop.
It's like,
one fantastic
song. One of these guys going to fall.
Yeah. Right. Amazing stuff.
So anyway, my original point being, I never heard, it was years before I heard the single.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, I saw Hard Day's Night at some point, but by the time I did, and this is my memory, is that I had access to the Hey Jude album.
Yeah.
And that had I Should Have Known Better on it, stereo. And so it had the harmonica lick at the beginning. You know, where it breaks off.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, and that became like enshrined in my head as like the version.
Right.
And then when I hear the riff repeating like it does in the film and in the, you know, subsequent issues, I didn't like it as much because I heard it a certain way. So do you have a preference on that song?
I actually prefer the original mono version. I think
so. The riff repeating.
Yes.
So that where it stops short. To me, it sort of humanized it.
Yeah.
I envision Lennon like running out of breath or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's kind of like the cracked voice.
Yes.
In,
it sounds
if
more,
I fell.
Correct. It sounds more organic, doesn't it?
Basically. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
So I mean, the thing is, you see, I think you're knocking off tracks that you also just don't like. In my case, I'm just trying to
in favor of stronger material.
Yeah. In my case, I'm just trying to go with the tracks that I would add that I think would strengthen the album.
Make every album a greatest hits.
And then replace, not necessarily just ones I don't like, but ones that, because there isn't much Beatles that I don't like, but replacing
Ringo,
what I see as the...
George.
well, I mean, you know, the Please Please Me album.
Yeah.
I know it's a great favorite amongst people. It's just not a favorite of mine, is I Saw Her Standing There, okay? But I get it that it's a
superb
hugely popular.
Track.
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you
so
dropped any John tracks, by the way?
Have I dropped any John
I'm
tracks?
Just curious.
Okay, he's trying to pick on me here. Let's have a look. So far, no, I haven't.
Mm.
But I will do.
I'm shocked.
I've got some coming up.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
stop trying to pigeonhole me there.
What you do with the pigeon in that hole is up to
you. Okay, on that point then, let's go to Beatles for Sale.
Yes, I think we're covering Hard Day's Night.
And Beatles for Sale... I'm getting rid of John's Mr. Moonlight. Okay.
A popular choice.
Yeah, you know, so that's gone.
What is your beef with that song?
I just don't think it's a particularly strong song. I mean, it starts with that, you know, amazing sort of shout by John.
Yeah.
And then it settles into something much tamer. You know,
do you think it's the arrangement? Is the organ that wrecks it for you?
Yes, and the way they're just singing along, it's just... I mean, yes, they're harmonizing, but to me it just sounds a bit lame. It's not; it's just not one of their strongest songs for me.
I thought it was interesting when I started to think about Beatle music as I was getting into it, that they started it off so powerfully and dramatically, and then it's almost as if they tacked that on knowing what followed was not going to be up to that level,
right.
So they try to boost it at the onset, because... You know, I'd heard that for the first time probably, I don't know, 75 or so, and then Star Club comes out. And Mr. Moonlight's on that. It doesn't have the shout on it.
Right.
It just starts. To me, that's a much more energetic performance. And I loved hearing, instead of the Hammond organ. And I'm not going to diss them for experimenting or trying something different.
Right.
You know, props to them for doing that, even if I don't necessarily love it. But I like the song a lot more hearing George play guitar solo on it.
Yeah.
And even though he's just repeating the melody line.
Well, again, it's the Beatles. You know, I want to make it clear again. It's not that I don't like these tracks I'm getting rid of necessarily. I just say I think they're weaker than what could be added.
You're not negative on purpose. Gratuitously.
I'll ignore that. The other one I would take out, Ringo again, I'm sorry, but there's going to be compensation for it. Honey, Don't, I would take out. I don't like Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby. Whereas again, that's performed in Hamburg. I'm, again, got nothing against George's vocal, just not a favorite track of mine.
Okay.
And another original, which happens to be McCartney, but again, it's not me picking on McCartney. What You're Doing. I always thought, even years ago, I remember the beginning on the drums. I just thought it was a kind of pedestrian track. I never thought it was, you know, it sounded like something that Paul's cranked out more than, you know, one of his finer compositions.
Well, to quote President Kennedy, let me say this about that. I think that song worked beautifully as sequenced on the Beatles' sixth album in the States. What You're Doing, Every Little Thing, Tell Me What You See. It was a great little run of songs of differing origins that all sounded wonderful together. And I think it sounded a little naked the first time I heard it on Beatles for Sale. It's like, oh, wow, this is not as powerful as it was where I previously heard it. Of course, part of it's where your first exposure is. But I really do think that those songs that you might not reckon as top-tier Beatle compositions, although I think they're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
In another bands,
yes, absolutely.
A material.
Absolutely.
But they're good. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of the tiredness that you see on the album cover seeping in, maybe a little diminished energy. But I would never drop Honey Don't, which was clearly a favorite of theirs, to the point where John is singing it during the Plastic Ono Band sessions with Ringo on drums. I mean, clearly, it's a song they thoroughly loved. And then he did it, of course, for the Carl Perkins special that you were at the taping of.
Yes.
Back in 85,
I believe. 85, yeah.
Yeah. But what makes that song for me, and I remember as a kid hearing this the first time, how it caught my ears, Rock on George again, one time for me.
Absolutely.
It's like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
You really get, like, the closeness of those two in particular.
Absolutely. And
that's worth its weight in gold.
And, well, George and Ringo, of course, totally into country music. So, you know, and
I think they would all cop to that in some level.
Yeah. So... And George's guitar playing, by the way, on the Beatles for Sale album is absolutely superb. It suits his style and his abilities.
That rockabilly component of his guitar playing character. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, and that's why, with my selections, I feel like I've got a little more latitude because
we haven't even heard yet what my selections are.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So I would knock out Mr. Moonlight, Honey Don't, Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby, and What You're Doing. I would replace with I Feel Fine. Yes, strengthen those albums. Leave My Kitten Alone, which to me is absolutely, I think most people would agree, it's a kind of stunning omission. Maybe.
That is a conundrum.
Yeah, the most notorious omission of all, most likely.
I mean, in all of fandom, when that reached the public's ears, what the hell were they thinking in 1964?
Yeah, I can only assume that they most likely thought we don't want another rocker on here for some reason.
Or another kind of, you know, he's playing the Cup of the Ride symbol.
Yeah.
Is that a little too close to I Feel Fine, the Latin What I'd Say, you know, Watch Your Step kind of thing?
Right. Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, they could have arranged it otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, so, okay, so I Feel Fine, Leave My Kitten Alone, Slow Down off the, EP. You know, Long Tall Sally EP, Long Tall Sally, and She's a Woman. You see a Paul song there. Not one of my favorites, but I'd put that in. And Ringo, his first vocal on an album, Matchbox.
Okay.
Because to me, that...
You think
that's
superior to
vocal.
Honey Don't?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Oh, no.
I think it rocks
Richard,
more.
You've missed the boat on this one.
No. That's why, you know, I mean, the Long Tall Sally EP in the UK, which, you know, for American
three covers
fans
and
who don't
an
know...
Original.
Yeah, it's Long Tall Sally, I Call Your Name, Slow Down, and Matchbox. It's really Hamburg revisited. You know, the energy of Hamburg is captured there on vinyl.
Yeah, it's. I thought, you know, as we noted previously, I Call Your Name should have been on the Hard Day's Night album. It just should have been.
Absolutely.
They could have put any cover in its place.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's what I do in my selections.
Well, okay. And the last thing I will say is that I would have also released as a single the song that was going to be released as a single before John came up with I Feel Fine, which is 8 Days a Week. That and No Reply, I think, were both considered as singles. But
yeah.
I think 8 Days a Week, again, is another
I
one of
Babies
the singles.
Babies in Black was considered, too.
Oh, maybe that's the one, actually. I think you're right. Yeah, Babies in Black, not No Reply. But 8 Days a Week, to me, is another kind of not quite all my loving, which I think, by the way, you referred to Ram as Paul's first masterpiece. For me, I know you're referring to
in
his solo
book,
career.
In my book, Fab Four FAQ 2.0.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I don't say that in my book, Beatles 101. but I actually think that his first masterpiece compositionally, for me, is All My Loving. I think that was just...
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Yeah. But anyway, 8 Days a Week is another single I would have released in addition to I Feel Fine.
Okay. Well then. I'm with you on Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby. Not because I don't like the song or the recording. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I get where they did that tag ending on it, you know, where it's a natural to close the album.
Yeah.
You know, given George's Carl Perkins fixation, which is manifest on the BBC recordings.
Yes.
So much more Perkins they did than they actually did at EMI. But still, they did several at EMI. I would have... Having siphoned off I Call Your Name for the Hard Day's Night album, I would have replaced it with Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby. So now you've got four covers on this freestanding EP that, as you say, is Hamburg encapsulated.
Yes.
That's fine. That makes total aesthetic and commercial sense to me.
Okay.
But since they are fatigued, since they are shopping around for covers to populate this album, one of the strongest ones they did, which was a Carl Perkins number, and it's on the BBC, it's on the Hamburg tapes, Ain't Nothing Shaking, I would put.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Ain't Nothing Shaking at the time of Beatles for Sale?
Yeah. You've got the latitude to do it. It needed another up-tempo song, especially one from George. You know, it's replacing Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby, which is not a super up-tempo rock and roll song.
Yeah, I'm just thinking more melodically, stuff though, it just doesn't tie in at all with anything.
No, it would if they recorded it in the fall of 64.
I don't know.
Let's play the BBC version just to give people a sense of at least the energy of this track from, I guess it would have been summer 63?
Yeah.
Some point in 63.
Shaking but the leaves on the trees. We meet the gang and go to rockin' shows. The cats are stomping on the heels and toes. I grab my baby, try to give her a squeeze. There's nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. Well, why must she be such a doggone tease? There's nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. She's got a way that makes me act like a fool. Spends my money, then she plays me cruel. I'm begging for her kisses on a bending knee. Oh, won't you give me some of loving, baby? Please, please, please. Though I keep trying hard to make her mine, one day the wind will blow and the sun will shine. Till that time she puts my heart at ease. There's nothing shaking. Shaking but the leaves on the trees, yeah.
Cut every Ringo song. You're gonna piss off half the audience.
Wait, you're gonna get rid of Misery? I can't believe it.
It's a garbage.
Oh, for God's sake, it's sacrilege. Yeah.
That was
good. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that great?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Right.
There's no way I'd have put that on there.
Thank you for seeing my way.
Unbelievable.
Right. And I've got another song I would add to that in place of this will be I'm with you on Leave My Kit Alone in place of Moonlight, although it's kind of obvious. I think everybody kind of gets that already. I want to squeeze in there somewhere Lonesome Tears in My Eyes.
Are As you another again?
Yeah, because this is George's rockabilly showcase.
But it's so dated, that song.
I don't think it would have been in 64. Oh. Because certainly, again, you've got Lennon using that lick later on for Ballad of Johnny and Yoko. So it's something that would have resonated with fans.
Let's stack up your additions to mine. Let's hear your ones.
Go ahead.
Your additions, go on. What would they be?
Ain't Nothing Shaking and Lonesome Tears.
And mine would be I Feel Fine, Leave My Kitten Alone, Slow Down, Long Tall Sally, She's a Woman, and Matchbox.
But what are you taking off?
I'm taking off Mr. Moonlight, Honey Don't, Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby, and What You're Doing. So it's got two more tracks on it. It's basically a 16-track
album.
Yeah, yeah.
In this
Is that
universe
okay with
that's
you?
Perfectly acceptable.
Yes.
No, I think you had suggested taking off 8 days a week. And
no, I wouldn't take it off. I'd just release it as a single.
Well,
but I'd leave it on the album.
You're Keep ripping off the consumers, down. Richard.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Okay, Dexter. All right, so you're asking me what I would drop? I would drop the aforementioned Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby.
Yeah.
I would swap out the aforementioned Leave My Kitten Alone for Mr. Moonlight.
Good.
Sorry, Moonlight. We'll go with the Hamburg one for that, just because I think it's a superior take. And I think I would take out What You're Doing, not because I think it's inferior, but because that would go for a future show when we're doing our Help album. I would put it on my Help album.
Oh, and weaken that.
No, and bolster that. What You're Doing was a song they actually considered as single material.
That's maybe what I should be asking. What are you doing?
I am doing what needed to be done.
Oh, God.
As always.
So,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we've agreed that it's the end of the show.
Yeah. You want to fight about it?
My name is Richard Buskin.
This is Robert Rodriguez.
And this has been
Something
About the Beatles.
Great show, guys. Get the butt off the piano before you go busking.
Well, I've got a baby crazy for me. Yeah, I've got a baby wanting me be a baby. Baby, baby, Sarah Bella, baby, baby.
No animals were hurt for this episode of Something About the Beatles, produced by Thomas Rapetney, executive producer Rick Wade.